Good to see so many out on a trying day, I guess, as far as the weather. We didn't really get a whole lot of moisture, but we got the first we'd had in a long, long time, and we're truly grateful for that. A little slick this morning, and glad everybody made it here safe and sound through that. Did have one other thing that I neglected to get mentioned this morning, and that's while Stephen and Karen are here, we try to take advantage and have them over for meals if we can. If you would like to do that, I think all the lunches are still open Thursday and Saturday for Stephen and Karen, and then Friday just for Stephen. If you've never had them over, they're really enjoyable to visit with. You won't lack for conversation, I can assure you, especially if you serve Stephen gluten, because the conversation will mainly be with the EMT as they come to take care of him. So he does have that dietary issue, but like I say, if y'all would like to do that, there's a sign-up list in the foyer, and you will benefit from that, and they'll benefit from getting to know you as well. This is our first day of the week of the year, and I always like the first part of the new year. God recognized that, I believe. When you look at the Passover, he made the Passover the first month. He said, from now on, this is going to be your first month. And on the 10th day of that first month, they were to take a Passover lamb and get it prepared, put it aside. And then on the 14th, they offered up the Passover lamb. And it was something they were to do as long as the law of Moses was in effect. And in fact, this was something that the Jews continued to do, no longer from a religious commandment, but as part of their heritage for years and years after. We read of them doing that, of the Christian Jews in the New Testament taking part in the various feasts that they had. And again, no longer as a religious commandment, but as part of their heritage. Well, I guess part of our heritage is this New Year's tradition to start anew. And I think it's important. I think it's really important to be with the church on the first day of every week that you can. I know it's not always possible. Some of y'all even came maybe when you shouldn't, just before surgery. but here you are, here you were. The first fruits belong to God. And there is something, just as the Passover feast was to call into their remembrance who their Savior was. The first day of the week for us is to be taken without fail as a remembrance of who our Savior is and a proclamation of what He has done for us. And you've done that. You've done the most important thing of your week this morning. As we talk about the new year, my encouragement to you is to start to think about doing more. Which is an unpopular encouragement, isn't it? I suppose every swindler, every huckster, every con man has started off with the principle of, I'm going to give you something for either nothing or very little. That's not God's covenant with us. God's covenant is, I want everything you have. I want the first fruits. I want the first of your thoughts. I want everything that you have in service. But in return, I will give you so much more that it's not comparable. And this is true, I believe. I have experienced, not only in the physical life, which does have its challenges, but I know it's true as well, and even more so in the eternity to come. So the encouragement for this morning is to do more. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I do want to make this notation. He didn't say work out your own plan of salvation. He says work out your own salvation. The idea is God has a plan, but we each as an individual are responsible for that plan. Finding out what it is, doing it to the best of our ability. And when I say to the best of our ability, not just, well, try and slog your way through it. Excellence. I love living in happy. I've enjoyed when our kids were involved with the school. I liked watching how they really did promote excellence in the school, whether it was in academics or whether it was in athletics or band or whatever it was. There's just something about a smaller community, I suppose, where since you know each other, there's a natural, not just competition, but encouragement to do better and to do excellent. When it comes to the church, I'm absolutely convinced that the Church of Christ in Happy, Texas has to be the epitome of excellence, because we have to draw the lost to Christ. And we cannot do that in a mediocre fashion. We can't do it half-hearted. We can't do it halfway. And so again, work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's a passage that usually we just read one verse in it and we don't explain why it's so important. But I want to start in verse 25, but also read through verse 31 so that perhaps we can understand exactly how important in God's eyes our first day of the week worship is. Our gathering together to break bread is. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I really love this church because there is an encouraging factor. I like seeing people walk up with a smile on their face. If they don't walk up with a smile on their face, at least when I get finished preaching, they're able to walk out with a smile on their face because it's over. But there's encouragement, isn't there? The so good to see yous are not just platitudes. They're meant. It is so good to see each one. It's good to be together. It's good to worship together. Encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And then he tells why this particular sin is so egregious to him, this forsaking the assembly. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is left for sin, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? God tells us why it is a sin to not gather on the first day of the week. The elements of the Lord's Supper are not just bread and juice, unleavened bread and juice. They are symbolic of the body that Christ gave for us, that was beaten, torn, and pierced. It's symbolic of the blood that He shed for us, the blood which He called the blood of the new covenant. And we're told that when we continue to sin by just ignoring this opportunity, that we trample the body of Christ underfoot and we treat as an unholy thing the blood of Christ. We cannot do that. And then it says, on top of that, we insult the grace of God. And so the things that we are relying on for our salvation, the sacrifice of Christ and the grace of God, we have forfeited. And so those are two of the reasons why it's so important for us to gather together. The third, I believe, is this: we lose the encouragement. And I do believe we need to think about how we can encourage others. I was just talking to somebody the other day from another community, and they were maybe a little bit disappointed with worship where they were. And one of the things that I pointed out was it needs to be outward. There needs to be some thought as to helping pick others up, making them happy that they came. And then when we get here, thinking about the songs that we sing. I've never considered myself to have a good voice. Everyone has always considered me to have a loud voice. And so I make it as good as I can, but also I try to use the volume to hopefully encourage. Think of ways you can do that with the song service. The prayers that we share together, we can take part in that. The prayers will not always be perfect because we're not perfect people. We need to try and make them perfect. Don't get me wrong. But we can pray along and we can pour our hearts out to God through this time. The worship is so important. Verse 30 says, "We know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" A lot of times when God promises punishment for behavior that we have that is not correct, we think, "No, you won't." Isn't that odd? We base our salvation on his promise that there is a heaven. And then we base our hope for salvation that he will have broken his promise, that he won't repay, that he won't avenge. That's insanity. God will. And we don't need to be afraid of that. I'm not saying that. We need to do our best for God because we love him. And when we do that, we don't have to fear. But if we are violating God's commandments in any way, and then we're counting on him not keeping his word and not punishing it, again, that's a bad plan. In this new year, as you go through it, let me really encourage you to dig into his word and find out what he has to say for us. I started off, Clay mentioned, a little bit different type of a reading plan this year. Oddly enough, we're going to go into the New Testament in just a little bit, but we're going to start off in Deuteronomy because Deuteronomy shows so much of the character of God and the principles that he has for his people. And they're exhilarating when you see what he's promised for the faithful. And they're very cautionary for those who are not obedient. And so Deuteronomy is a perfect point to start as far as understanding God is serious about what he does. And he wants us to do well. He is rooting for us to do well. And he wants us to come back when we're apart from him. And so we'll start with that. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." You ever get called to the board when you were a kid in school to do a problem that you had no idea how it worked? And, you know, the embarrassment and the shame. For me, just any time you get called on, my mind would shut off anyway. And so, well, it's difficult when you're not prepared. It's difficult enough when you are prepared. We don't need to be ashamed. We can correctly handle the word of truth. This lie that people have convinced themselves, nobody can understand the word of God, it's just too complicated, that's ridiculous. God wouldn't command us to correctly handle something that was impossible to correctly handle. But the encouragement we get from that, I can know what he has to say. Therefore, I can know whether I'm in compliance with it or not. Therefore, I can know I'm in contact or not with the blood of Christ. Therefore, I can know whether I'm walking in his grace or not. Therefore, I can know for a fact if I am saved or if I'm lost. do your best. Each one of us has a different best, a different level, in different areas. So you just do your best, and God will bless the rest. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the last part of verse 17 says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In this new year, think about talking to God more often, but doing so with thanksgiving in your heart. You do get to present your request to God. He wants to know what you need, but it has to be with a spirit of thanksgiving. And when we are thankful for what we've already got, then it makes it so much easier for us to, in confidence, ask Him for the things that we need help with. We've got the right attitude. One of the problems, I believe, that is common to men, or at least I think it is, because these are the problems I have or have had through the years, is I have attitudes like, haven't read my Bible yet today. I hadn't prayed as I should. I got to go to worship. Instead of, I get to worship today. God has set that aside for me. I found it to be free time. I don't know what your time is like. I wouldn't presume about your schedule. When I was a real estate appraiser, an 80-hour work week for me was the norm for a number of years. I cannot remember ever missing the worship or even a Bible class. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this to make a point. I cannot remember ever missing one time that I could have made that God did not take care of that time for me. I don't know how He does it. But I do know that if I make the right time for God, that it seems like He blesses me abundantly in every other area. Have to read your Bible? What a privilege to be able to listen to God talk to you. This new year is going to be more difficult than last year, and it's going to be more difficult than the year before if your focus is upon the problems. The world has changed. America's changed. There's no question about that. We're citizens of what used to be the greatest nation on the face of the earth, I suspect, since Israel. We can't travel around the world unless we have papers that are up to date. We can't travel to certain cities unless we have papers that are up to date. We can't go to restaurants and movies in certain places unless we have papers that are up to date. Hitler perfected this. And now what we thought was the greatest nation on the face of the earth in modern time is far exceeding it. If you are focused upon these problems instead of how you can help solve them and how God can take care of everything you can't, this is going to be a miserable year for you. But if you're focused upon what can I do for God, given the circumstances that I have, this will be an incredible year for you. There's loss that you may actually influence in your small way to Christ this year. There are people within your family that could draw closer to Christ, and you can help them if you do so in a good way. In a Christian way. If all we focus upon is the problems, I'm not saying don't think about the problems. I think it would be kind of foolish to not think of the problems. If you hit your foot with an axe, I think you probably should address the problem. We got problems right now. We've got mad men and mad women wandering around with axes everywhere. I'm not saying don't try and address the problem. I'm saying don't let it overwhelm you. The Israelites were really thirsty when they were grumbling. Grumbling was the wrong thing. The right thing would have been to turn to God and then just trusted Him. We look at all these things and we grumble and we complain and we talk about how this is unfair and how this is un-American and this and that. Have we prayed to God about it? When you are immersed in God, when the days of worship and Bible studies are a highlight of your week, where you can go and encourage others as well. When your study that you can do during the day, whether it's something as simple as just picking up the Word first thing in the morning and allowing God to drop within your heart the truths from His Word that'll help you through your day. Or whether it's being able to go to God on a regular basis and just say, thank you so much, and please help me with this. It will change not just your year, but it'll change your life. But like New Year's resolutions that get made and broken within the first few days, if you become determined to serve God better, but you let it slip away, then you'll go back into the pit, into the bog and the mire that is this world. Psalms chapter 40 is one of the most beautiful psalms, I believe, within Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture. And it says this, just the first three verses and a little bit of the fourth. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Can you imagine talking to the Creator of the universe and Him inclining to you? I got to hold my new granddaughter on Saturday. Ah, I was inclining towards her. Got to hold my one-year-old grandson. He walked in and he put his arms up. I don't know if it's because he's glad to see me or if he's just lazy by nature, but I picked him up. I inclined toward him. I couldn't resist it. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. Do you feel like you've been in a pit of destruction? Some of y'all have been through the fire this last year and have done very well coming out of the fire. God did that for you. And this part, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He didn't pick you up out of the miry bog and then set you on a slippery path. He'll make your steps secure if you'll let Him. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. In this new year, be determined to make God your trust. If you will do that, you're going to find that this year is not only one of the best years you've ever lived, but it will also become one of the most productive, if not the most productive. There's some exciting things coming up. We got some new babies coming into this congregation. There's going to be people wanting me to stop my sermons just so they can hold these babies. We've got new people coming into this congregation who have got life and encouragement and enthusiasm and souls. We've got people in our family. We've got friends who are not here, who are not Christians yet. They have souls that will live either with God forever or apart from God for all eternity. If in this new year we will put first things first, if we'll start thinking about the right perspective and do so with a thankful heart, it's going to change our lives and change the lives of others. And I guarantee you this will be the best year you've ever lived because you're this much closer to an eternity with God, if you should so choose. Invitations open this morning. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian today. If that's the case, we rejoice with you and we're here to help you. If you need the prayers of the congregation or have any other needs, won't you come forward and let those be known while we stand in